have this the inside the furnace unit and the blower for my heating and air conditioning has some writing on the side of it. It's dates. And the reason it has that is when I had this unit put in, now most of the time, most of you are supposed to replace your furnace filter every month. I didn't want to do that. So they offered me one that's about this thick, about like that, and you replace it once a year. But I got to remember to do it that once a year or else I'm in trouble. And so I write the date on that, and every time I open that closet where that unit's at, I see that date, and it reminds me I need to be sure and buy one in time to replace it in October. I need a reminder like that every once in a while, or an annual reminder. And I say that because today is kind of an annual reminder of what we ought to do all the time. We ought to be filtering our air all the time, but you need to remember that and emphasize that at a certain point to remember to do it all year. And all of that to say, that's why I think it's good that you have a one Sunday a year that we speak of in terms of Mother's Day, because it reminds us that really we need to be honoring mothers all the time. But that one time a year reminds us of the importance of that. Why should we honor mothers all the time? Well, maybe it's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:12, which he says, "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman." And then he looks back to chapter 2 of Genesis. And he says, "For as woman was made from man, so now man is born of woman." And that last phrase, I think what I hear in that, he says, "And God thought this all up." This all came from God. That just as that woman came from the side of man that took a rib and that created woman, so also now every man you know, and here's why you should honor your mother all year long, is because all men and women have that scar we call the umbilicus. You know that word, umbilicus? That's the word that is more commonly known as belly button. Men are not self-existing. Women are not self-existing. Everybody has a mother. And so you do well to honor them. I've been doing some research on my Fleming relatives, my ancestry. And one of the things that I discovered, I didn't know this about my granddad Fleming for a long time, but when my granddad Fleming was not quite eight, his mother died. This is actually a picture of his mother and his father, my great-grandparents, Flemings. And she died in 1911. She's buried in Southwest Oklahoma, near, I think it's east of Granfield, Oklahoma. They had moved from North Carolina and had lived, I don't know, a decade or so at least in Texas, in Oklahoma. They first moved right west around Vernon, and then they moved up into that southwest part of Oklahoma. And she died. I don't even know how she died. My dad went back up and found her grave a few years ago. But my dad never knew this grandmother. Who he knew was a lady named Mamie. Because my granddad's father, my great-grandfather, had five sons and a daughter. And the daughter, when her mother died, was already gone from home, but those five boys were still home. And he went back to North Carolina about 3 months after his wife died, and he came back with a wife. And that's a picture of them sitting out on the front porch. And that lady in that picture is his second wife, the only grandmother my dad ever knew. That was actually his step-grandmother. You may remember that in the Ten Commandments, the people there, Israel is called to honor father and mother. As the Lord God commanded you, it says, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord is giving you. You ever notice what Paul does when he quotes this? The book of Ephesians, chapters 5 and 6, has what's called a household code. You have four of those, at least, in the New Testament. One in Titus, there's one in 1 Peter, there's one in Colossians, there's one in Ephesians. It's the sections where he will address the various members of an ancient household. And in chapter 6 of Ephesians, he addresses children. And he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And to support that idea, he says, he quotes from the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and your mother. And then, have you ever noticed, Paul makes a commentary on this. And he says, this is the first commandment that has a promise to it. The first of those commandments, the Ten Commandments, the only one, the Ten Commandments, that has a promise with it. And the promise is that if you will honor your father and your mother, that things will go well with you and that you may live long in the land that I am giving you. Go back and read that. What's the point of that? What is being said there? In what way will things go well with you if you honor father and mother? In what way will things go well with you then, and in what way will you live long in the land that God is giving you if you will honor father and mother? I want to suggest to you, because when I remember growing up and reading this, and I thought, well, that means you say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and you obey your parents. And I that's part of it. But I want to suggest to you there's something bigger going on here in light of that commandment. And that is that not only would you, as a child, still in your parents' home, honor your father and mother, but just as much, maybe even more, it is also that you honor your aging mother and father as you are an adult. And in what way then would that make it go well with you? And in what way is it that you would live long in the land that God gives you? Have you ever thought about, you who are adults now, who have aging parents, have you ever thought about the fact that there are people watching you and how you care for aging parents? One reason I think about this, my mother about 3.5 years ago had a fall and she injured her hip, so that she has never been very mobile ever since then. What this is saying has come home for me in that I've really struggled with how do I honor her as an aging parent? How do I honor her with this change in her life? She who has always been really strong and now she's not so strong. In fact, every time I see her, it seems to me she's weaker. How do I honor her? But here's the other factor in that. It's right that I honor her, but here's what I also know. I have three children myself. Here's what I know. They're watching. They are watching how I honor my aging parents. And here's the thing. I don't know if you realize this, but you're getting older every day. And at some point, it may be you who needs help from someone else in your family. Have you modeled for your children how you would want to be honored in your old age? That it may go long, may go well with you. That you may live long. You see, if you don't honor your parents and your children observe that you have not honored your parents and that's what they learn, you may not live very long. You know, in the ancient world, children were your social security. The ancient world, that's how you survived and how you lived long in the land that God has given you is you had children who would care for you in your old age. Honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land that God gives you. I think most of you would recognize this if you've never thought about, I suspect you've already thought about this, but you've noticed, do you remember how when you get, as you get older as a child, there is some difficulty in transition? As the child gets older, they want more and more independence. And it is difficult for both parents and children to make that transition. I want to drive, and it scares the parents to death. Why? It's a transition. It's a change. And change is always hard, isn't it? But there's a parallel to that. At the latter stages in life, in which aging parents more and more lose the independence that they have known. And that is difficult. That is hard. It's hard both for aging parents and it's hard for adult children to adjust to that difference, to that change. And so when we say change is always hard, well, we could also say honoring is also hard. How can I best honor the life that this aging parent has? That's the thing I've really had to struggle with. How can I give them as much independence as they can handle and yet make sure that they have the care that they need? That's a struggle. But I want to tell you, as much a struggle as that is, it's worth it. And it's right. And it's right both because I want to honor them, but it's also right because I want to model that for my own children. You see, I think that's one of the points here is that honoring has future implications. That as you do what's right in the present, As you walk with aging parents, for instance, those who are adult children, as you walk with aging parents, there are future implications to how you handle that. That you would handle that in the way you would want to be treated when you were in that situation, in that position. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 19. I don't know if you've ever thought about the fact that Jesus was the oldest child. And in chapter 19, verses 26 and 27, Jesus is on the cross. He is this oldest child. It's pretty clear his mother is a widow. Mary is a widow at this point. And in John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. And when you hear Jesus this in this context, he's on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Mother," you've thought about these are the last words of Jesus to his mother. "Mother, behold your child." Do you hear what he's saying? To that disciple whom he loved, he looks at his mother and he looks at John. And he says to his mother, and he's pointing to John, at least with his eyes he's pointing, "Woman, behold your son." Jesus is concerned about the care of his aging mother, even on the cross. And notice verse 27. And then he said to the disciple, he looks at John, "Behold your mother." And what's the implication of that? What's the result of that? John says, and I think he's talking about himself, "And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." Jesus, even on the cross, was concerned about the care of his aging mother. Why? Because honoring is not simply service to that person, it is service to God. To honor, whether that means showing respect, whether that means giving care, that is service to God. And Jesus, in saying what he says to his mother and what he says to the disciple whom he loved, which I think is John, knew he was serving God the Father by saying those things. The thing is, in a Christian family, we have an opportunity. People always do not honor as they ought to. But in a Christian family, it may be that we have spiritual parents and spiritual children. And sometimes physical family doesn't step up. And if they cannot or will not step up, who does? It is the spiritual family. And I think that would be included in what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, when he says, "Outdo one another in showing honor." Honoring. That word honor is used, I think, in the same sense as the word, are you familiar with the term honorarium? An honorarium is something that, for instance, is given to a speaker very often to take care of their needs, like travel expense and things like that. to honorable, to outdo one another in showing honor. See, I see that in this church. I see people taking care of others that are not their physical family, but they take care of one another. Why? Because we all call on this same one God and Father, and we all are brothers and sisters in Christ. And that has implications. That has obligations that come with it. And I've seen that over and over again among you. And that's right. That's the right thing to do. And I commend you for that. It may be that there's someone here this morning that's not in Christ. If you have yet to put Christ on in baptism and to be joined together by God into this spiritual family, there's no better time than this hour to do that. Or if we could pray for you and encourage you.